Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for today is taken from today's gospel. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, this is one of the three stories we have of Jesus' childhood. It's the biggest one. We have the story of the wise men coming to Jesus when he's about 2 years old, and prior to that, when Jesus is in the temple, and he is circumcised and given his name, the one when Anna and Simeon announce that he is the Messiah. And then you have this one. And there are lots of other stories about Jesus' childhood, but not in the Bible. They're in the apocryphal Gospels, the false Gospels, like the Gospel according to James, for example, or Thomas. Those are exciting stories, okay? Because Jesus there has superpowers, and he's not afraid to use them, right? So, for example, his teacher smacks him, and Jesus zap gives him leprosy. Kids make fun of him, and zap, he kills them all. Okay, now that's the kind of Messiah you can get on board with, right? Because that's what we would do, I would think, you know, if we had superpowers. Like this last week, I was dealing with a car dealer. That's a lot of fun, right? And I told him, I want between this price and this price. No, well, just absolutely, going to be right in that price. Then I left, I came back, and the people I was dealing with were out to lunch, okay? And so I had to deal with, guy looked like a former middle linebacker. He had a huge smile, tan, you know, shook my hand and raised the price $4,000. Now, how satisfying it would be to go, boom, leprosy, right? It would just be great. That's not the story we have here. And the big question we have to ask is, why did he put this story in? It's a simple story. Jesus' family was used to going to Jerusalem at the Passover, and you wouldn't just go as a family, you would go as an entire community, would go down there for safety's sake. And they get there, they celebrate the Passover, they're heading back home, and get a day's journey away and can't find Jesus. Finally, they run back to Jerusalem, search for a couple more days. Think about that. That had to be nerve-wracking. And finally find him in the temple. And Mary kind of chews him out a little bit. I would have been a lot stronger in chewing out my kids than Mary was. But, you know, Mary says, you know, you were worrying me and your father to death. And Jesus says, well, didn't you know I'd be in my real father's house? Ouch. Okay, kind of a zinger at Joseph there. And then they eventually go back to Nazareth, and it says Jesus is obedient to them and grows in stature and wisdom and all that. It's a nice story. But just because a story is nice is not a reason to put it in a gospel. And like I said, Luke must have heard many stories of Jesus' childhood, and yet this one was very important to him. Other questions are raised about this text too. For example, how did Mary and Joseph lose Jesus? Now, I understand at this point they can't conceive of Jesus as the Son of God or the Savior of the world, but they know he's the Messiah. And I don't know about you, but if I had a kid who was the Messiah, I'd keep tabs on him better than this. Number two, wouldn't the temple be the first place you would go to? I mean, I'm sure Jesus showed a great interest in worshiping God and in the temple since he's God himself. And then you have to look at Jesus and you have to ask, well, was Jesus being naughty? Well, no, he's not naughty, okay? He didn't sin. But one big question is, why didn't Jesus ask permission to stay behind? I read a commentary that had a really good answer for that. Must really understand kids and the way they think. He said he didn't ask permission because they would have said no. Okay?
that's a good idea.
There is a better reason why Jesus didn't ask permission. And I think it really touches on the reason why Luke put this in his gospel. The gospel writers were all inspired, but they also, in their inspiration, were seeking to carry out and achieve goals for the reader and the listener of their gospels. And one that was in common with all four is answering the question, who really is Jesus? If you go back 2,000 years and ask Mary and Joseph, they'd say he's our son. If you ask the disciples, they'd say he's our teacher. If you'd ask the Pharisees, they'd say he's a sinner. If you ask the chief priests, they would say he's an idolater and a troublemaker. But if you were to ask Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would tell you clearly he is God. Not just when he's 30 and begins his ministry, also when he's 12. And our problem is we have to wrap our minds around that. That must have been very difficult for Mary and Joseph. It said Jesus went back to Nazareth with them and he was obedient and all that. I can imagine there were a lot of different things taking place that bothered Mary during that childhood of Jesus. He would have said things and done things that she didn't agree with, she didn't understand. And he would not say certain things and do certain things that she would have wanted him to do. And Jesus was like that throughout his ministry. He was always doing the unexpected and in some cases the unwanted. For example, he hung out with sinners and tax collectors. Pharisees didn't like that. On one occasion, Jesus says to the disciples, let's go directly across from the Sea of Galilee, which is unheard of, and go to this land of the Gentiles, which was unwanted, and then we'll get attacked by a demon-possessed man. Disciples not happy about that. Jesus refused to publicly announce that he was the Messiah. John the Baptist didn't like that. I got another puzzler for you. This is the last time Joseph is mentioned in the Gospels. So sometime between Jesus age 12 and age 30, there's a reason why he's not mentioned again, because he dies. And why is he dead? Because Jesus didn't raise him from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the Messiah, number one on the hit parade of raising from the dead would be Dad. And yet he doesn't raise Joseph from the dead. And when Mary found out that Jesus is raising other people from the dead, she probably was a little confused by that. Yes, it can be a very difficult thing to wrap your mind around Jesus being God. And that brings us to that last question I had. Why did Jesus not ask permission to stay behind? He doesn't have to. He's God. And that's something that Mary would have a hard time throughout her life coming to terms with, and it's hard for us as well. And sometimes we make the same mistake as Mary and Joseph. We'll look for Jesus in places where he is not, and we'll think that we lost him. Well, what Jesus could have said to Mary is, lost? I'm not lost, right? God doesn't get lost. And Jesus comes to us and says, well, you may not feel my presence. You may not even believe or trust that I'm in your life at this time. And yet, guess what? I'm never lost. I'm always there. I'm always by your side. I always keep my word. And I promise to be with you always, even till the end of the age. We can even find ourselves scolding Jesus, like Mary and Joseph, when things happen in our lives that we don't like. There's one entire book of the Bible that is nothing but that, the book of Job. And finally, God came to Job and said, you're right, what happened to you is not fair, it's not right, but it's happened. And you don't have to understand it, but you have to trust me. Mary had to learn that very painful lesson throughout her life. And I think some of the most important words in this text is when it says that she pondered all these things in her heart. A lot of things with Jesus didn't make sense, and she even disagreed with. And yet the one thing she could always ponder in her heart, that her son, Jesus, loved her. And yet she could never, at that point, conceive of what that love would look like and what that love would lead Jesus to. Hanging on a cross on a hill that she could have seen from the temple courtyard where she was scolding Jesus. She couldn't conceive of it, but we can, because we've been given the faith. The faith to know that despite what happens in our life, even if we don't agree what God is doing and don't understand it, that we still can ponder in our heart that one fact, that Jesus loves us and he always will. When I was a kid, I was really not a fan of getting penicillin shots. You go in now, well, for one thing, they hardly ever give you antibiotics anymore, right? They're trying to keep. In the 70s, they gave penicillin shots for everything. And the big difference is, you know, today's needles are gauged like a hair. When I was a kid, it was like a railroad spike, right? And they wouldn't do it in my arm so I could see it, which is what I wanted to. It always had to be where I couldn't see it, okay? And I remember getting an ear infection. I knew it was an ear infection, and I knew what was going to happen because my mom wasn't taking me to the doctor. My dad was, because my mom wasn't strong enough physically. And so as we're driving there, I'm just like, oh, I just hope this nurse isn't there. The last experience I had with her, what a disaster that was. All I asked is just count to three and then stick the needle in. At least then I know when it's taking place. And she said, absolutely. And then she went, one, two, pop. And I was so startled and so angry, I clenched everything up in my body, and they couldn't get the hypodermic needle out of my rear end, stuck in there. Couldn't sit for like a week. I had a nickname for her. I think I called her like a needles hurt so much or something. Something like that. But when I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, who comes walking in? Here comes needles, you know, Mick hurts so much. And she has her harpoon full of antibiotic. And it took my father and two orderlies to hold me down. Now, as I was struggling and screaming and fighting, I looked at my dad. Now, during that whole procedure, I didn't hate my dad. I didn't think he was trying to abuse me. I know he loved me. Even though I didn't agree with what he was doing, I didn't like it, and I wanted it stopped. But the fact is, as I was screaming my head off, I pondered in my heart that whatever is happening right now, I know my father still loves me, and this probably has something to do with that. Now, if that's the case with me and my father, it certainly is the case with me and our Heavenly Father, and with us and our Savior who gave his life. In his name, amen.